Merry Christmas. It is great to see you all this evening. I don't know about you, but I love that video, and I can relate to that video. In many ways, it feels to me like this guy right here has kind of made off with all my joy to the world, all my peace on earth, and every last little bit of goodwill toward man that I could possibly have during this time. And as much as I'd like to report differently, it has been a crazy season. Shannon and I have downsized, and we have moved twice in the last few months, and we're going to move once more in January, and it's just been crazy. And so I've been living pretty casual. I've been living in the same pair of jeans, really, pretty much the same pair of jeans for about the last 2 or 3 months, and I was going to try to pull it off again on Christmas Eve, and Shannon said to me, "Babe, that is not going to work." And I tried to dress it up this way, and it's just not happening. So I got this. You ready for this? I walked out of Macy's at 10:45 this morning with this. It has been that kind of Christmas for us, and in many respects, I feel like I'm just surviving. Any chance you might feel the same? Yeah, I can kind of feel that. You think about all the travel and the planning and the parties and the baking and the cooking and the cleaning and the decorating and the shopping and the wrapping, and let's not forget Christmas pictures. Which is an exercise in terror, right? Christmas pictures and then Christmas cards. And I just wonder, the big question tonight is simply this. How do you and I move from this sense of surviving Christmas and come to that spot where we experience the wonder that was there that first Christmas night? And Marcus spots him looking at you with your newborn right there holding that little one, and like that kind of wonder, you've got it. How do we get that? Well, here's what's going to happen. Tonight, God's going to introduce you to three people from a very familiar Christmas story. And as we meet them, and they're kind of familiar to us, each one of them has one word for you and for me. And I think when we hear the one word, the one word, the one word, and really take it in, what happens is we move from surviving to this sense of real wonder of what God did on that first Christmas, and it changes us. If you got a Bible, you can look with me over to Luke's gospel. We're going to read the very familiar Christmas story that Luke gives us. Luke chapter 2, I'm going to begin in verse 1 and read through verse 20. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. And this was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria, and all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, because which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And in case you don't know, betrothed is a legal term, and Joseph and Mary were pretty much at this point legally bound, but they hadn't consummated their marriage yet, and yet she was with child. Not good from the world's perspective. And it was tough. And so that goes on. And the time came while they were there for her to give birth, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger, because you kind of comprehend, there was no room anywhere. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night, and an angel of the Lord appeared to them. And the glory of the Lord shone around them. And friends, you got to read this with a little bit of holy imagination. We hear this so many times, it just goes over our head. But to be there on that night had to have been awe-inspiring. And the angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, what God often says to us, fear not. Fear not, for I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord, and this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. And suddenly, whoosh, there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, not singing, saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. And when the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, and I love the shepherds. These guys are make it happen guys. And the shepherds said, hey, let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing that's happened, which the Lord has made known to us. And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in the manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. Verse 18 is very significant for us tonight. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. You join me in prayer? God, we come in here tonight. We come from a lot of different places, and no doubt that many of us, it has been a hectic season. And I would ask, Lord, that you would do what only you can do and turn us from this sense of just surviving to experiencing the reality of the absolute amazement of that first Christmas night. Not just to wow us, Lord, but to change us. And we pray that you would do great things in this time, in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, my big question is, how do we move surviving to this sense where we really experience the wonder, the absolute delight of that first Christmas? And I figure one of the ways that we do that is by spending some time with people who were actually there during that time. So I want us to go back and look at three people. We're going to talk about Luke because Luke has a word for you. And then we're going to spend a little bit of time with Mary because if we could sit with Mary, she'd have a word for you. And then we're going to spend some time with these shepherds because if the shepherds had the opportunity, they too have a word for you. And when we hear those words, they're very significant for what God wants to do in each one of our lives this evening. I want to start with Luke. If you're not familiar with him, he is the author of this gospel that we just read. And his whole gospel, his entire gospel is an exercise in looking back, in remembering. And if Luke could share one word with you, I think the word that he would share is this: remember. Remember. Luke chapter 1, verse 3 said, it seemed good to me also, having followed all things closely for some time past, to write an orderly account for you, O most excellent Theophilus. Now, we don't know who Theophilus is, but we do know this, that Theophilus was kind of a common name in his day. And when he says most excellent, Theophilus probably held a position of some status. And Luke was recounting to him the events of what happened during the time of Jesus. He really wanted to. And so it's as if he's saying, Theophilus, remember this. And as I shared before, remembering is a very important work. When I was like 12 or 13, you can see this picture right here. Take that in. Just let it wash over your soul. That's the guy second from the left, that good-looking kid with the long locks and the plaid pants that most of you wish you were wearing tonight. That's me. That's me at about 12 or 13. And in that particular time, my dad had this brilliant idea that we were going to march into the forest and we were going to chop down our own Christmas tree. Now, that sounds cool. And when you're a kid and you hear you're going to go into the woods and take down a tree, you know what you're thinking? You're thinking this: Douglas fir, snow-capped, perfectly formed, beautifully scented. We lived in Palm Beach Gardens, Florida. I mean, it's 80 on a really cold day, and there were no forests. There were just the woods on the other side of PJ Boulevard because the place was desolate, kind of like Boca was at that time. And there weren't any Douglas firs. In fact, when you walked into the wood, there was just really one kind of tree. It was this one right here. Florida longleaf pines. And oh, yeah, we took one down. Now, you got to picture this. You've got to picture this. In this home of ours, just picture that thing strung with lights and decorated and sap. It's all right there. And it was like, yuck. You know, my younger sister is our family chronicler, and every family probably has their family chronicler, their family historian. My sister is the family historian. She has hundreds, if not thousands, of pictures, but she does not have a picture of this tree. And she was so embarrassed. She told me this week, Tommy, I was so embarrassed of that tree. I was not going to let any of my friends into our home until we got rid of that tree. And you know, looking back at that, when we were kids, we cringe, Dad! But looking back at it as adults, we just laugh. And something happens in remembering. That remembering that goes on at that particular time. It anchors us to our past. It anchors us to what does it mean to be a Ketus? We are adventurers. It reminds us that we learned that we could get by with less. And remembering, we realize that Christmas is so much more than a tree. And God over and over and over and over and over and over again tells us, remember, remember, remember. He wants us to look back because it anchors us to his work in the past, and we see his work in the past is like his work in the present, and it will be like his work in the future, because God's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And it teaches us that God is the same. And we find confidence and strength that God is going to see us through. So Luke's word to you and to me is this: it's remember. Remember. And it's like Luke is writing Theophilus, and I think he's like he would be telling many of us, this event was real. This is not a fable. This is not a cute little story. This is real, rooted in historical fact. And Luke is taking us back to that moment to say, remember, this is how God works. And this is what God does because he loves you. And for you and me, if we want to get that sense of moving from surviving to really that sense of awe, it begins when we remember. This story that we read again and again and again is real. God working on your behalf in the past. Mary would have a word for us as well. And if Mary gave us a word, her word that she would give us is ponder. Ponder. I don't know about you. How many of you guys or gals ever got Sports Illustrated magazine? And you raise your hands up high. It's okay. It's not a thing to be ashamed of. All right. There's quite a few of us. When I was a kid, and actually probably into my 20s and 30s, I got Sports Illustrated. And when I did, the first thing I would do is I would go back to the very back of Sports Illustrated. Because in the back of Sports Illustrated, Rick Riley had a column, and Rick Riley was a brilliant writer called Life of Riley. I loved it. I get Hot Rod magazine. I still get that today. And when I get my Hot Rod, I usually go to the back, because in the back, David Freiberger, who for the long time was the editor of Hot Rod, has his column. And not only is the guy an amazing hot rodder, he's also a great writer, and I love reading his stuff. I get Harvard Business Review. You're probably seeing a pattern here. And when I get Harvard Business Review, oftentimes the first thing I do is I go back to the back, because in the back page of Harvard's Business Review, they have what's called Life in Review. And it's a brief one-page Q&A with a notable figure. And a few years back, they did one with Ken Burns. You know Ken Burns, the filmmaker. And they were talking with him. And it's so interesting. Ken Burns said, you know, in 1980, I was just coming out with Civil War. And it was during the time that MTV was on the rise, and the way videos were being done was changing. Lots of movement, lots of action. And people talked to Ken Burns, and they said to him, people will never watch Civil War. It moves too slowly. And everyone watched it. In 2007, Ken Burns created The War, which is a chronicle of World War II. And at the time, the TV channels went from like 55 to like 555. And people said, there's too many choices. It moves too slow. No one will watch it. And everyone watched it. And then he creates this thing called the Roosevelts. And the same thing. People said, it won't succeed. No one will watch. And they watched it. So the folks at Harvard, at HBR, said, tell me, why do you think it is that people watch it? And listen to what he says. There is a deluge of information in the world, but very little understanding of it. We all know what it's like to browse the Huffington Post and not remember any of it 20 minutes later. That happens all the time. Sustained attention is what makes companies work well and art work well, and it's what all human beings crave, no matter how distracted they are. And then he's this last little line, I love it. Meaning accrues in duration. In other words, you've got to, in this world of ours, slow down and ponder. And we look at Mary. This is exactly what Mary does. She slows down and she ponders. And what Luke does when he gives us this is he's going to contrast people that heard about Jesus with Mary, and he's going to show you a distinct difference between the two. Look at this. Luke 2:19 says, "And all who heard what the shepherds had said, wondered at what the shepherds told them." The word wonder means awe. How many of you have seen Toy Story? Let's see those hands nice and high. Come on, you up in the balcony. I know you've seen it. All right. We've seen, and some of you over there in the overflow, I know you see it too. So, all right, here we go. And they're up here in the Toy Story, and there's this moment in Toy Story. You ever seen those little green aliens? Yeah, they're LGMs for short, little green men. And when you see them, Buzz Lightyear appears, and the first thing they do is go, "Ooh." And they see the claw. That's our master. The claw. It chooses who will go and who will stay. And there's just this, "Ooh." That's what people did when they wondered. They saw what was going on, and they just said, "Ooh." And they were in awe, and they were. It was a sense of marvel. But you know what happens? It never resulted in change. It never resulted in faith. They're just oohing. And it's what a lot of people do every Christmas Eve. They come and they, "Ooh." But it doesn't change them. But Mary is different. Mary, it says, treasured up all these things. She took all these disparate pieces and she gathered them up and then she pondered them. And Mary is saying, "God, what are you saying to me?" And what Mary did is what God wants us to do, but what Mary did is what so few of us do. We go and go and go, and we don't stop and ponder what was going on. And when you and I ponder, here's what we see. This is a super, hear me, supernatural event. You've heard the Christmas story. A star appears, magi show up, and then they disappear, and you've got Mary, who's betrothed and with child by the Holy Spirit. And then you've got these angels that appear and disappear and reappear. It's supernatural. Take just two. Think about Mary. Put yourself in Mary's shoes. Someone sees that you're with child. "Oh, are you married?" "No, I'm betrothed." "Holy Spirit." "Oh, I haven't heard that one before. That's a good one, Mary." "Yeah, that's interesting." There's this sense in that, is this a natural thing or is this a supernatural thing? Larry King, y'all know the name Larry King. Larry King said, if I could interview Jesus of Nazareth, I'd ask him one question. Were you virgin conceived? Because if Jesus is indeed virgin conceived, that settles everything. God, his work, our future, what he says, everything. And what Luke is doing for you and me is he's saying, this is not natural. It's supernatural. Think about the angels. I mean, the angels appear and then they disappear and then they reappear. And Luke is saying something to us because Luke's day, and even more so our day, we live with a mindset that this is simply a natural world. And so many of these days are followers of Carl Sagan, who said the cosmos is all that ever is or was or will be. And Luke comes along, he says, you may want to rethink that. Because there is a natural realm, but Luke is showing us there is a supernatural realm. This really took place. And God is at work. And for some of you here, you're just viewing this as a natural thing. And what Luke is telling you, no, no, no. And Mary's saying, you need to ponder on this. Because if this is a supernatural event, then God needs to have he needs to have your ear. It's not only a supernatural event, it's a universal event. The angel said, he brings you good news of great joy that will be for all people, for every one of us. Some of us grew up in the day when we're watching TV, and as you're watching TV, all of a sudden you hear this, "We interrupt this program to bring you a special news bulletin." Any of you heard that? Yeah, here's what God's doing in Luke 2. I'm interrupting this program to bring you a special news bulletin. I'm entering your world. You're lost. I love you. You need saving. I'm coming after you. This is what God's doing for us. And we think about it. it makes sense. Because our world is broken. All we gotta do is turn on the news. All we gotta do is look on our internet, and we're messed up. We do not get along on this level because we do not get along with God on this level. Something's missing. And most of us would agree with C.S. Lewis, or maybe wouldn't agree, but I want you to think about what he says. Lewis said, if I find in myself desires which nothing in this world can satisfy, the most probable explanation is that I was made for another world. And what God is saying is, hey, I'm interrupting this program. I've got the one that's going to give you a relationship with me so you can be a part of my kingdom that is and that will be. And it only comes one way, through my son, who is the way, the truth, and the life. And that may not be politically correct, but it is biblically true. There's only one way to God. And God was bringing that in this moment. And Mary says, you've got to ponder this. This is life and death. This is eternity. And God says, I love you so much. I'm breaking into your turf. I'm coming after you. It's a supernatural event. It's a universal event. It's a personal event. So interesting. He says, in Luke chapter 2, verse 10, that this is for you, he said to the shepherds. Good news of great joy that is for you. And it is a sense that God loves the world, but you got to ponder the fact that God loves you and you and you and you. I have a great respect for a woman whose name is Marilyn Robinson. She is an American novelist. She won the Pulitzer Prize several years ago. She's an essayist, and she's, I think, pretty stinking brilliant. And her writing's amazing. She was in one of her books where she wrote an essay, a book is entitled When I Was a Child, I Read Books. She was reflecting on how Mars, when it was discovered, astronomers learned and were able to, through what we have available today, to kind of chart some of the courses of Mars. And they're seeing these craters and these ditches and these ravines and hills. And what the astronomers began to do is they began to name all these places in Mars. And they named them with famous people. And so she's looking at this and she's reflecting, this is just Mars. We live in a universe inhabited by billions of galaxies. We can't even comprehend how many. And so here's what she writes, thinking about that. Scatter the names of all those who've ever lived, not just the famous ones, over the surface of the noble cosmos, and it would remain for all purposes as unnamed as it was before the small anomalous flicker of human life appeared on this small, wildly atypical planet. I love this. Say that we're just a puff of warm breath in a very cold universe. Go ahead, say that. By this kind of reckoning, we are either immeasurably insignificant are incalculably precious and interesting. And I tend toward the second. Mary says, ponder this. God's coming into your universe. Why? Because God loves you. This is a supernatural event. It's a universal event. It's a personal event. It's a salvation event. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a what? A what? Say it nice and loud. A what? A savior. Why? Because we need saving. We're not okay before God. And God, as the song we sang earlier, has been working to reconcile us to himself. He's come after us. We haven't gone after him. And this is what he did. A savior who took a big giant step into our world, became like us so that one day he could go to that cross, sinless son of God. And on that cross, God could take your wrongdoing, my wrongdoing, put it on his son, and pour out the judgment on his son, Jesus, that you and I deserved. That's why Jesus came. And Mary's saying, ponder this. This is a salvation. He's the Savior, the long-awaited Messiah who has inaugurated his kingdom and one day will come and rule and reign forever and ever, as Handel's Messiah says, which comes right out of Revelation chapter 11, verse 15. He will reign forever and ever. And what he wants to do is make us a part of his kingdom. It's an amazing thing. And Mary says, ponder this. This is not just another ornament on your Christmas tree. This is God is crashing heaven and earth because he loves you. Mary says, ponder that. And the last group I want us to see is these shepherds. I love the shepherds. Shepherd's word to you and me is this: respond. We're going to read Luke 2:20 that you see in just a minute, but I love these guys. The angels appear to them, and they said, the first thing they say, well, dang it, let's get over there and see this thing. We got to go check this out. Let's go over to Bethlehem. And they went with haste. And then they take it all in, and then they went and told other people. And then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen. They responded. How'd they respond? They responded by receiving this good news. And then they responded by resting. These outdoor guys, they put their faith, they put their trust in that little baby, because he wasn't a baby. That's the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, ruler and creator of the universe. I'm going with him. And they put their faith in him. And it was so good, they couldn't keep it to themselves, so they went out and they told other people about it. How about you? How about you? Tonight we're going to sing Silent Night, Holy Night. And my prayer is that God makes this for you and for me. Because I've been living that crazy surviving experience of late. A little different. And just a minute, I'm going to light that candle. And our band's going to come up here and they're going to play Silent Night, Holy Night. And when they do, and we all stand and sing, I'm going to ask you to sing. But as you sing, I want you to do something. I want you to listen as we sing. Listen for Luke's voice who's saying, remember, this is real. And then as you're singing that song, listen for Mary's voice. She's going to say, ponder this. God stepped into your world to save you. If you've never put your faith and trust in him, make that tonight that you say, Jesus, I get it. You came for me. Save me. Make me your own. And be like those shepherds. Listen for their voice. They're going to tell you, respond. Do not put this off. Do not put this off. Respond. Put your faith in Jesus. And if you know him, maybe yours is, God, I just got to respond in a different way to give you the praise you deserve.